Hello, everybody. My name is Corey Dodge. I'm with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. I'm pleased today to introduce to you our webinar on implementing the Alberta Career and Technology Studies CTS Mentoring Course. Today, we're going to have a panel discussion that will focus on setting up the CTS Mentoring Courses in your high school. Members today are going to share their experiences and learnings with scheduling, training, matching, and supporting mentoring in their schools. We hosted a webinar a couple weeks ago introducing the CTS Mentoring Courses called Mentoring for Credit, an Introduction to the Career and Technology Studies Mentoring Courses. If you missed it or want a recap of what webinar was all about, or you need a quick introduction to the CTS courses, you can find the recording of that and the attachments from that webinar at on our website, albertamentors.ca/podcast. And so if you go there, we host all of our previous some webinar episodes and podcast episodes for you to listen to. And if you want to subscribe to our podcast while you're there, you can do so. You can click into the podcast and subscribe, or you can go to any major podcast outlets such as iTunes or Google Play and search the Mentoring Minute and subscribe that way. And before we get started, we're just going to plug a couple of webinars we have coming up. One is the Placing a Better Bet, the Importance of Bridging Research and Practice in Youth Mentoring, which is happening on April 26th. And in that one, we're going to welcome our guest, Michael Gerringer, who is the Director of Research and Evaluation at Mentor USA. And then the other webinar we have, Aboriginal/Indigenous Youth Mentorship Program, Expanding the Circle into Alberta, which is happening on May 1st. And we're going to be welcoming our guest, Dr. Kate Story and Dr. Noreen Willows for that. If you want to subscribe to that, or register for those rather, go to albertamentors.ca/category/webinars, which you see up here on the screen, and then you can register for there.
Why isn't ours up there?
And you can plug that in a minute. So before we get started, if you have any questions, we're going to gather after the panel, we're going to answer all questions, but if you want to answer question or ask your question throughout, they'll gather in the question box, which should be located on the right hand side of your screen under questions, or you can throw your questions out chat box as well. And we're just for a little bit of a warm up, we're going to screen. Here we go. Which of these is a benefit of mentoring? Children are, select one of the three, 2 times as likely to have high level school bonding, 2 times as likely to have high academic performance, or 48% less likely to have behavior problems. We'll just give you a few seconds.
Oh, you said one. Me too.
Half the people voted. We have 25% said 25% said there's 2 times as likely to have high levels of school bonding, and 75%, 48% less likely to have behavior problems. School. It's actually just a question. They're all benefits of mentoring. And a few others are, there's 2.5 more times likely to participate in extracurricular school activities, 43% less likely to have conduct problems in school, and 34% less likely to allow themselves victimized or bullied in school. All right, so I'm going to move things over to Caroline Gosling, our Alberta Education Representative with the Alberta Mentor Partnership, going to get ball rolling and introduce you to the panel members we have for today.
Great. Welcome. Thank you for joining us over your lunch hour. It is my pleasure to introduce our panel members for today, and a big thank you to them for being willing to participate and share with us today. So we're going to be starting out with John Taylor, who is an off-campus coordinator with Livingston Range School Division, and Stuart Schramm, who is a child and youth care worker at Matthew Halton High School in Livingston Range. And joining them is Peyton, who is also a child and youth care worker in training, who is helping them out with their mentoring program. So we're going to have them go first. Then we're going to move north to Latoya Bartlett, who's the principal of Ridgeview Central School in Fort Vermilion. And then we're going to come south again to Edmonton and close off with Bill Lomax, who's a senior manager in the Career and Technology Studies area in the curriculum branch with Alberta Education. And after that, we'll open it up for questions. On that note, I am going to turn it over to John and Stuart and Peyton.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll get started. We got a couple questions here that we, you know, some leading questions that they gave to us. So I'm just going to start there. One of the things we were asked to talk about was, how do we get involved in these CTS courses? Well, simply I was just asked by our principal. Our principal came and said, how do you feel about doing a mentorship program? And I thought, you know, I think this is a good idea. So we got on that. And I know that John and Ty, our provost, our success coach here, were involved in that. And John is our teacher for that end of it. And we started meeting. meeting. We kind of started getting our program together. We met once a week, kind of deciding what we wanted the program to look like. We took on assignments and we came back every week and kind of redefined what we were going to be doing with this. One of the first things we did was we contacted Carolyn Goslin. Thank you very much. Who referred us on to Latoya Bartlett, who is a principal in La Crete, Alberta. And she's on the panel today as well. She gave us some excellent information on startup, what to watch for, what works at her school, and benefits for both mentors and mentees. So these are things that we were going to look at. We set up a pre-timeline, which included obtaining templates for letters for parents, applications for mentors, sending out emails to all staff on suggestions for mentees. We reviewed the outcomes of the modules and decided how we were going to put those into place, how many credits we were looking at in our time frame. We then took the mentee suggestions from our staff and discussed each student. We decided to focus on students who seemed to be on the outside. Those who were alone at lunchtime, who were new to the school, seemed not to be connected to the school. And that was kind of our focus as far as what we're looking at mentees. We also looked to see who was getting internal or external supports and tend to look at those who seemed to be invisible or flying under the radar. Our team then took our list to administration. We took it to our family liaison worker, Lorraine Morningbull, who was our native liaison worker. And we went over the list again as these staff had other information, because the three of us, you know, it's a smaller school, 340 students, but we don't know everybody as intimately maybe as some of the other staff and those who work with them on a daily basis. So we went through the list with them, decided how would be important in the matching process. When we started the process, as we all knew someone who could benefit from a mentor and who would like to mentor them. We called the mentee's parents to introduce the program and asked if they were interested. We sent a program explanation and questionnaire home for each of these students to fill out, of course, with the first phone call. They all came back, which was a surprise to us. We thought, you know, we maybe get about 50% of them. So we ended up with 11 mentees at that point, which is kind of a higher number, because when we first talked to Latoya, she was saying, you know, probably less than 10 would be good. But, you know, we had 11. We thought, okay, we're going to do 11. All high school students were informed. So this is how we're recruited. It's all students, high school students were informed of the program and were encouraged to apply. We received many strong candidates. We looked at the applicants' attendance and availability. We figured the attendance was important because, you know, if they're not showing up to meet with their mentees, it kind of leads to disappointment in that way. And availability, we have some students that are busy in a lot of other things. And, you know, as far as academics and things like that, if they weren't able to kind of come in at the times that they needed to come in, we respected that. We looked at how they interacted with others and, of course, the application and how they answered the questions. We then got together as a team with admin and paired up mentors and mentees. Went to those mentees who applied who were not selected and informed them that they weren't selected and asked them, encouraged them to apply again next year. We started training. We went to the online mentoring Moodle for mentors and mentees. We found that to be a very good starting point for these students. The mentees, it worked really well is to kind of, you know, have them set goals, kind of understand what the mentoring process was, talk a little bit about themselves, what their interests were. And with the mentors, again, it did the same thing where it kind of gave them a good idea of what, you know, to be careful, you know, how to take care of themselves during this process, what mentoring was and wasn't. And it was a really good overview and I thought it was well put together. The other question that we were asked is how did we offer this in our timetable? So within our timetable, we have something called P2S or Pathway to Success. It's a 45-minute block where all students have the opportunity to work on what they need to. We were able to secure Wednesdays for mentor-mentee meetings. Our mentors were also given a block of 45 minutes once or twice a week, where we would work on planning activities, working on modules, journaling, debriefing, and we also be meeting with each mentor over the next 2 weeks to discuss successes, concerns, and feedback as far as the mentor-mentee relationship goes. These mentors are also given an 85-minute block later in the week, usually on a Thursday or a Friday, where they can catch up on this time. P2S block is set up so they can catch up on work. They're able to go to classrooms and do what they want to do in there and do the work that they need to do. John, did you want to touch on that at all? No, we're good. I'm going to keep going then. All right. We're also doing one outing per month, and this is designed by the mentors and mentees. So the mentors and mentees have a lot of input as to what they do as far as activities, as far as what they talk about, and what the activities are. So that's all put together by them. It was also look at what are we seeing as benefits. When we spoke with Latoya, she said that the mentors seem to get the most out of it. And I was kind of going, well, okay, that sounds interesting. And I wasn't really sure what to think of that. I thought, well, it'd be mostly because it is mentee focused, is that we thought, well, the mentees will get more out of it. But it's been really interesting to watch how the mentors have come out of their shell in a lot of ways, and how much they've been smiling when they're meeting with their mentees. And they're just very happy to be doing this. And they're saying, well, thank you for letting me do this. And they're quite happy about what they're doing right now. I think when we were talking a little bit earlier about how it seems, you know, people seem to want to have this sense of purpose, right? And I mean, this gives them a good sense of purpose when they're doing something like this. We've also had staff and students talk about mentees and how the mentees can't stop talking about their mentors. And this is, you know, it's kind of heartwarming to see this happen, right? Because they're just so happy to have this person in their lives. So the other question that we were asked to kind of touch on was, what piece of advice would you give anyone starting a program? So the first thing is probably to give yourself some time to get organized. I mean, you can't just start this on day one and expect to have everybody together and running. It says, talk to others who have a program running. People are willing to share information. And I mean, most people who are into this kind of thing are willing to share this information. We were lucky we were able to talk to Latoya, was one of the first people to talk with, and she gave us so much information and good information. It was quite helpful. The other thing would be talk to your coworkers about what they would like to see within the school. The other part of it is present at a staff meeting. Let them know what's coming down the pipe and what's going to be happening and what you'll be doing. Set up the time frames and what it's going to look like. One of the really important things is to secure a consistent time and location to meet. I think the location is sometimes difficult within schools because there's things going on in certain classrooms, and we kind of lucked out where we were able to secure a location for mentors and mentees to meet, which is our learning commons. The seating is comfortable. There's enough chairs in there. It's just a nice, comfortable atmosphere to do this in. We also have mentors and mentees going to different areas where they have music systems set up, just playing games, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's different areas, and we always do have it supervised for the most part. We also make sure that if participants can't attend, to let their mentees know or to let us know. Like I say, it's kind of sad when we have a mentee sitting there and the person doesn't show up. So we have to make sure that they're committed to coming. Again, thank you to Latoya Bartlett and Caroline, who are just excellent resources. Is there anything else that you guys want to add? Or
it's early days for us, and so we're just kind of piloting this and seeing where it goes and what we can do with it and then improve upon it next. We've just been doing it the last semester, and we spent a lot of time in the first semester of the school year just planning and organizing and figuring out the schedule and working out the details. So it's really early stages for us. We're not very far along the road.
Yeah, and there are some things that we're always talking about what we're going to tweak along the way here. So, I mean, we're always talking with each other and saying, well, we should do this next year, we should do this year, you know, and implement things even this year while we still can. We still got time left where we can implement things. So it's a work in progress. And
what about the activity?
We're running some joint activities too. So I mean, you know, we're doing some within the school. We're doing rock painting. Peyton's been very good with doing that. We're doing we did archery. It was supposed to be bowling, but it turned into archery. And it turned out to be really, really nice because we had students that were, you know, we knew that they were, you know, hesitant about trying anything new or anything that might be kind of semi-dangerous. And everybody participated, and it was interesting. The ones that were most afraid to do any type of archery were the ones who we were having trouble getting. Okay, we got to go now, right? They wanted to hang out and, you know, shoot more arrows. Like I say, we're planning more activities. We're letting the mentees and mentors kind of decide on what direction we're going with that. Picking days, hopefully we can accommodate those days. It's always a struggle to get, you know, 22 students together on the same day. But it's the activities have been good, and we're lucky to have that funding right now to be able to take care of that. So yeah, anything else, guys?
Yeah,
good. Well, thank you.
Thank you, our Pincher Creek representatives. And I think it's great to hear from a group that is early stages, because I think that's, you know, it really helps people to have the confidence to try it and get started, and, you know, to just go for it, do some planning, give it a try, and then kind of revise as you go, which it sounds like you guys are doing. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm going to turn it over to LaToya.
Hi, you want to hear me?
Hi, LaToya.
Yes, I'll kind of take the same structure as what the last team took. And I'll start with the how we got set up. So in Fort Vermillion School Division, one thing that we did see was a huge need to have our students connected and to look at our students holistically. So what can we do while also offering them credit that would kind of deal with this situation that we had happening? So the first thing that we did is we partnered with the elementary school in town. And the first year, the first two semesters, we looked at partnering with kids of all ages. So it actually went from grade 2 to 6, and the high school was from 7 to 12. So we took our grade 11 students as mentors, and then when we mentored, we had the principal and the student support team of the elementary school pair them with students that they felt were at risk, not just academically, but holistically at risk. We found that it worked, but it was missing something, and we turned it into more of then a transition plan. So we looked at kids in grade 5 and 6 we would ultimately have in our high school, and we teamed them up with grade 11 mentors. So then that kind of how we came to that conclusion on what that structure would look like. In regards to the mentoring itself, we structured it so it had the 6 credits. So we offered all the mentoring credits that fall under that CTS umbrella. And then we also offered the leadership component of that. So the leadership foundational one, I believe, credit. So the kids ended up with 6 credits from completing this course. We ran it once a semester. So we had different kids. Like I had said to the previous group, we did try to have less than 10 just for the capacity that we had in the classrooms and the space. And again, that having that secured space is extremely important. So for the role of the mentor themselves, they did have a semester long where they were with a teacher or a mentoring facilitator. The first 3 weeks were in the classroom with that facilitator. And in that classroom is where, or the first 3 weeks is where we dealt with the 1050 intro to mentorship. And we looked at the training piece, the legalities behind it, the taking care of yourself. How can we address the mentees? What if there's disclosure of information? Just things that could protect themselves and how to carry out program. And that came from the intro to mentorship and the resources from the website. And then at the end of those 3 weeks, they received their mentoring certificate for the completion of that course. In the 4th week, we kept Mondays. So Mondays were in class portion. So that's when my grade 11 students were with me in the classroom preparing for next week and meeting those outcomes. So every Monday we had a theme, or we came up with a theme that met the outcomes. We planned an activity for the mentees, and then they completed the work that they needed in order to meet those outcomes. And I do have a list of those if anybody would want to see them. So what activities fell under what credit. And then the remainder of the week, on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they mentored. And then there was 1 year where they did it up until Friday. And then there was another year where we felt we needed a Friday for reflection. And then we had another in-class portion. So they did spend the majority of the time was actually actively mentoring and using Monday's planning for their session. I felt that one of the most important things about the success of the program was that it was structured, and that when they were with their mentee, they had a purpose and they had what they needed to teach that mentee, and they had activities to go with that with the mentee. There was 1 year where it was perfect and everybody was on the same schedule. And then there was many years where, you know, the mentees are different. They learn different, same as a classroom. And then our weeks look different. And that just meant our Mondays look different. And some people were behind, some people were ahead. And that actually was probably the best years for it, because everybody was coming with even, well, I did this theme, here's my reflection, maybe you should try this because your mentee's a bit younger. So the in-class portion was really important. And that's where I seen my mentors grow. That's where, you know, the comment that I had said to the team previous, my mentors got more from it. And I really do feel that they did, because they took a teaching role, a leadership role, and you know, that mentorship on, and they had to learn as they went on what that look like. So that was the structure for the mentors themselves. For the mentee, we left the choice of who the mentee would be with the principal and the student support services and the teachers. And we did want to make sure that these were students that needed another person. They needed another grown up in their life or a friend in their life. So they would narrow it down for us. We did make it very clear with the school that it wasn't an academic mentorship. It wasn't something where they were going in as an educational assistant. This was something where there was going to be mentorship that happened and that there was outcomes that needed to be met and that there was going to be a relationship here that was going to be vital. So that was important to kind of get the teacher from the elementary schools to understand. And once they did, it was fantastic. And there were those students at risk and that they were looking at holistically too that really benefited from it. The facilitator or the teacher, and I call it a facilitator because even though you're going over and you're teaching some of the outcomes and the strategies, you're really facilitating it once it gets started. It really is something that the mentors take charge of and you facilitate it and keep it in structure and with the outcome. My biggest advice for the facilitator would be to get those resources, the high school teen mentoring handbook, the activity book, the toolkit, the online training and resources and research based upon the themes. I do have a list of themes if anybody is interested in those. And every year those changed based upon the needs of the mentees. One year I had all boys. So they really geared towards what are some issues that young boys are experiencing that we can deal with that meet the outcome. And then the facilitator arranging and structuring it and making sure that it is running smoothly. I also did a number of checks. I would do focus groups with the mentees and also with the mentors. And I would check in quite a bit with the teachers also to make sure that everything was happening that was supposed to down at the elementary school. And I would visit. When we did off campus field trip, which we did a few, I would also attend those and get to know the relationship between the mentor and the mentee and if it was at all. So it is it's more of a facilitator as in you're not in front of them teaching, but there's a lot of work that does go behind it. And I think the biggest advice would be to make sure you have the resources and the connections made to make that work. In regards to the timetable, again, it was Monday in the classroom. One year it was Monday and Friday, and then they were outside of the classroom. So then as a facilitator, that's where you're kind of doing your visits and your planning and making sure those outcomes are being met and checking in with the kid. You will find that, or I did find with the mentors, they were checking in with me regularly on a weekly basis anyway. It could be something as my mentor said this, what's your suggestion? My mentor doesn't sit still, what is your suggestion? So it was something that even though it might not be right into your timetable, it was constantly something that you were giving advice for. So there, I would structure it for the kids so that the high school kids know where they need to be. And so do the elementary teachers. But again, the structure often falls apart sometimes. And that's kind of where the best learning happened. In regards to tip or advice, again, the resource is the big one. Making sure that it's structured, you have the projects ready for those kids to complete. When it isn't structured is where you would probably start to see it not working. When the mentors aren't sure what they should be doing with the mentees or it's unstructured for the mentees. And then that's where all agencies kind of get frustrated. So it's that structure I think is extremely important. Having that place for them to meet, as the group previous to me had said, is very important. One year we had the library. One year our mentees just didn't mesh well together. So we needed three different places and we had to work that out. So having an area, a quiet spot, a safe spot, sometimes for students at risk, that safety is important. So having that safe spot for them. The structure in regards to procedures, also that first 3 weeks is vital. Going through with the mentors, disclosure of information, having that attendance policy that you know, if you know in advance, you really do have to check in with the facilitator and you have to check in with the teacher and the mentee. It does keep the mentors accountable. And I found that attendance started to increase for the mentors because, you know, that little reason you didn't want to come to school today, well, you had to. You have a little person counting on you and it becomes so important. So we did see attendance for our mentors that we had chosen increase quite significantly. So I think those would be my biggest tip. And then to tap into that curriculum, there's some great cross curricula that goes on also for the mentors and kind of not reinventing the wheel. There's a lot of resources that are out there. And that is it for me, I think, unless there's any questions.
Okay, thanks again, LaToya, for sharing all your expertise. We really, really appreciate it. We're going to turn it over to Bill Lomax from Alberta Education to kind of close off this panel section. And then we will begin to answer the questions that have been coming in. And if you have any further questions, please send them in to us. So take it away, Bill.
Well, thank you very much. Hopefully everyone can hear me.
Yes. Good.
Thank you for having me on. I guess I'm going to bring to this is a different perspective in just saying that the use of these particular courses has been great to see over the last 5 years. We're seeing a roughly 7% growth in the students that overall that are taking these particular courses from the intro to mentorship all the way to the peer mentoring CTS courses, and which is great because when they were first introduced back in 2010, there was a little bit of a slow uptake, but now with the ability for students to get have the opportunity to get the foundations of mentoring certificate by taking three of those five courses, that's really wonderful to see. And that information is actually part of what we call our CTS credential pathway document. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to paste the link into the chat section so that people have access to that link and they can see what the criteria would be. It's also obviously on the Alberta Mentors website. I'm here to be able to answer the questions that people may have when it comes to these particular courses. I'm just happy to see and be a part of this whole experience, and that the teachers are actually utilizing these courses because there's the need or the request from the students. And hearing the other two panelists on how they are delivering the programs through from John and LaToya, it's great to just see the student interest, and the students are driving this. That to me is great. So I'm just gonna sit back and be able to answer. Hopefully, if there's questions in the courses themselves, I'm here to answer those.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Sorry, having problems with my mute button, but I think I have that under control now. So I'm going to now turn it over to Corey, who will moderate some of our questions and comment, and then we'll just do a quick closeout and highlight a couple of the resources that that are fairly new that people may not be aware of.
All right. Just going back a bit, Jody had a couple comments from when LaToya was talking. That is an excellent point by LaToya. I'm not exactly sure which point she was referring to, but she says, and then says, reflection time allows for that quote unquote match support time that is so important. Would really great point. We have a question from Shelley for LaToya, I believe. So LaToya mentioned, make sure you have your projects ready for kids to complete. Can she be more specific about what project she is referring to?
Sure. So when we developed the course, we took it and we broke it up into themes, and then those themes change depending on the mentees, but still fitting within the curriculum. So for example, there was a theme on communication and effective communication and how to teach that for the mentees. So then as a group, I always brought an idea to the table, what a project could be for that week in regards to communication. And then the mentors would also add to that. Well, what can we do in communication? I think 1 year for the communication, they had to come up with a skit that encompassed, I think it was a day in the life in Fort. And there was just how to communicate, how to speak using the proper terminology, how to project your voice. And then they did some scenarios. So how do you tell your teacher that you're having trouble in class? How to communicate appropriately with body language? So in regards to those projects with the mentees, we developed them on Monday, and it was really important that they weren't going down with nothing to do. So it was based around that. In regards to the projects for the mentors, I took the curriculum and I broke it down in sometimes there's things that I needed them to complete. So there was a reflection paper. When you look at, you do a lot of issues for youth in those outcomes. And they had a paper project where we did a novel study 1 year, and then we did a film study the next year. And we looked at that. We looked at youth issues and they wrote a paper. Another one was they actually made brochures for the mentoring course. So I have a chart too, if anybody wants that chart, I can get that out to you, of different projects that would fit under those outcomes. So there's some we made together based upon themes, and then there's others that the mentors had to do in order to assess some of those outcomes that weren't necessarily met by just mentoring.
Thanks, LaToya. And if you send us those, like any attempt attachments, or we can certainly make sure that they go out to the group, and that's really generous. So thank you so much for doing that.
We have another question here from Ken. He says, can anyone refer to the worst case scenarios, issues, or problems that came up that required immediate or serious attention?
I can answer that one, I guess. I can give an example. I think one of the ones that needed immediate attention often is the disclosure of information to the mentor. So they get that relationship that built, and there's a relationship of trust there. And for some of our students at risk, there is the disclosure of information. So for that, and the mentors are trained that immediately, again, you know, they're trained at the beginning to say, I can't keep secret. If I think adult needs to know, then I have to tell an adult for your safety. So that's something that they say at the beginning anyway. But it's often really hard for a mentor to have to say that to myself or the principal of the school, and that it's a learning thing for them. And it was tough, and it happened a few times, but that's something that needed immediate attention. Is that.
Thanks, LaToya. And I think that's a common, I don't know if fear is the right word, but I know that that is a question that comes up frequently about what happens if the mentee discloses. And I think you made a really good point about how the process and procedures around that, even though they're incredibly difficult for an adult, let alone a student, but they are really well laid out in the training and then part of that first course about how do you handle those situations and what would you do. And it also speaks, I think, to the importance of having that adult support for the kids, so they do have somebody that they know they go to and talk about it with. So thanks for sharing that.
And then Jody had mentioned, just she had another comment, and this is referring back to the previous question that LaToya was speaking, which is, and again, a good point to remember, the importance of planning and being intentional makes a big difference on the positive outcomes of the mentoring program. And if anyone else has any further questions, please submit them. I was just going to ask one kind of surface level question here for the group. I know LaToya was saying, in terms of advice for people wanting to take the initial leap into offering the CTS courses or running that mentoring program, LaToya had mentioned that it's important that they're structured and that there's a meeting place. I was wondering if any the other group members or panel members have any further advice.
No, not really. The meeting place, like we say, was pretty important, is to have a place that we're going to be going to every day. Otherwise, we got students kind of going all over the place. So the setting structure is important. But we're still working on, because we're new at this, we're still working on some of the structure as far as, you know, running activities, the training, all that kind of thing. So we're a little bit of trial and error here and there. John?
It's a little bit different here because we've got the school, it's a 7 to 12 school. And so we've got high school students mentoring junior high schools and the high school students in the same school. So they don't go off campus or anything like that. And there's a lot of common activities in the school already. We're just doing the basics right now, and then we're going to add to it, put the more bells and whistles in as we go forward, based on the feedback from the students, the mentors and the mentees too, how to make it more effective and efficient and fun, because we want it to be as fun as possible.
Okay, thank you. So not seeing any more questions, I think we're just going to draw your attention to a couple of resources, and then we'll be done early and people may actually have time to eat if you weren't eating while you were joining in. So the one thing, if you're in a school and you're wanting to kind of introduce the idea of mentoring to the school, to the administration, to maybe your elementary partnering school or whatever that might look like, it's a fairly new resource, but on the Alberta Ed website, which I know is not the easiest to navigate, but it's under the Safe and Caring banner and evidence-based practices, there's a really short little introductory video on mentoring, and there's also an accompanying conversation guide that you can see on the left-hand side of your screen. And so it's a great little video to show as part of a staff meeting or something else to kind of get that idea of mentoring out there. It talks a lot about the benefit. And so that's one I just wanted to draw your attention to, and also to let you know that the revised high school teen mentoring handbook is available on the Alberta Mentoring Partnership website now under the resources for schools section. And we're also just in the finishing stages of revising the accompanying activity book. And one of the things that will be in the revised activity book are more activities that are appropriate for junior high aid mentees. Some of the feedback we had received was that most of the activities were geared towards elementary aid students, and that in some cases there were high school students mentoring junior high students. So that will be, we're we're hoping that that will be complete and on the website by June. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to highlight.
Just one question came in here from Jamie D, and they're just asking if is anyone connected at a larger school. We are 1800 plus.
And Jamie, I can answer that. And I think at the end, we're going to have contact information put up. So if you want to get a hold of me, I can give you some names of teachers who are involved with mentoring at some of the big high schools in Edmonton and Calgary. So that might, hopefully that'll be helpful.
Great. So if anyone, like Caroline said, if anyone has any questions, you can contact the Alberta Mentoring Partnership at albertamentors.ca/contact. And then Caroline has offered her contact information for anyone else that has questions, which you can see on the screen there. We are also recording this webinar, which, as I mentioned previously, you can access in a few days at albertamentors.ca/podcast. As well, it will be emailed out to everyone that registered.
So again, a big thank you to our panel members, John, Stuart, Latoya, Peyton, Bill. We really appreciate your support and your promotion of mentoring in Alberta to the benefit of our students. So thanks again, and I hope everybody has a really great rest of their week.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, man.